All right, welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. Really appreciate your viewership, your listenership, your whatever, however you're digesting and absorbing this information, whether you're watching or listening while driving down the road, or maybe you're on a train to California. Who knows? Who knows? But I appreciate you being back on here again. This is Jeff Lamberts, and I want to welcome our special guest today, Mike Newell, fitness expert from the West Coast, Oregon. He's got a 3-hour difference from me. I've been to Oregon a handful of times, never visited your city, but absolutely loved every time I was in Oregon, Washington, the PNW. I don't know if it's just outsiders that call it that, but that's what I'm always going to call it. So
yeah.
Mike comes to us today. He's a fitness expert. He and I have been connected on Facebook for a little while. We have similar missions, similar goals as far as helping people. We do it in a little bit different fashion, but he's got some things to say, and we're going to talk with him, get to know him a little bit today. I can give a glowing review, a glowing bio, like I've known him for 20 years, but the fact is it's always better to get it directly from the source. So Mike, I'm going to open it up to you. Thanks again for being on here today. I really, really welcome you on here. Hopefully we have no internet, you know, interruptions today. And once this global pandemic is over, world has gone back to some semblance of normal, maybe we can do a face-to-face and have a cup of coffee and see each other and do this next time. But tell us a little bit about yourself, where you've been, where you're from, you know, what you're doing right now, and then we'll kind of open up and we'll have a conversation, get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I grew up in the Northwest. I've lived in Bend, so pretty much Central Oregon, almost my whole life. I've traveled around, lived in different states, but you know, I always end up coming back home. Growing up, everything was pretty normal for me. My parents split up when I was really young, which, you know, I just kind of felt was normal. I think that had a big role in my early decisions. You know, by mid high school, I was partying, hanging out a lot, probably with the wrong group. That kind of just continued on and grew and grew. I turned 34 last year, actually, while I was in treatment. So I went to treatment last year for addiction, something I've battled with, dealt with for almost 2 decades, and finally said enough was enough. While I was in this program, you know, they wanted to push me on every level, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and really kind of break it down into these quadrants, I guess is the best way to put it. And, one of the first realizations I had while I was there was with my own personal trainer. He really pushed me in a lot of ways physically to achieve things that I didn't think were possible. And what he allowed me to do was really show me what I'm capable of. And through my physical journey, it really opened me up to, well, if I could accomplish this from a physical state, like what can I do mentally? What kind of emotional barriers can I break down? Where's my faith struggled? Where has my relationship with God been broken and gone wrong? And how do I get that back? And, you know, all of it kind of cycloned its way back to fitness. And, you know, that's one of my big passions now is using fitness and using health to, you know, open people up completely and let them get a, 30,000 foot view of themselves. Basically, you know, if we can fix one part of the problem, we can fix any part of it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I have so many questions off of what you just said here. We're going to kind of dive into those here. I want to take it back and I don't want this to be painful, but I have to ask the question. Your parents split up when you were young. I have to believe that ultimately, and you touched on it, that had a major impact on your life, the decisions you made from that moment forward. How little were you? Were you like single digits, like 4, 5, 6 years old?
I was 2 and a half when they separated. And to be honest, you know, I don't ever remember
before you even knew what was going on. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember ever waking up to them in the same house. They lived in the same town till I was around 11, and then my dad left and moved down to Southern California, then across to the East Coast, chasing a, you know, NASCAR dream, which he ultimately achieved. Today, he's honestly one of my best friends. Like, that relationship has been mended over time. You know, we've been through a lot of ups and downs, and, you know, at the end of the day, we both understand that, you know, we only get one life on this earth, and it's just not worth spending it upset and angry about things we cannot change.
That's powerful. That's powerful. I'm glad that you've, at a relatively young age of only 34, I don't know how long you've had a good relationship with your dad, but you have the fact that you have that, where I know personally people that are in their, you know, double your age, that, you know, their father is gone, their mother is gone, and they never were able to, through whatever reasons, mend that relationship. So I commend you and him for stepping up and doing that on that. Now, I've got to ask them too, with your experience with that, some of your friends, your peers as a kid, did you recognize that as normal too? They have parents that were separated, divorced, or was it just something that you experienced firsthand? Everybody else still had parents that were together.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, everybody I kind of hung out with and was around, you know, their families, their parents were together. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at it from how your perspectives change, because, you know, all I see is, you know, two parents at home, two parents at the dinner table, you know, they're both sitting on the sidelines at sporting events. You know, you don't see the struggle side of things that come in any relationship. So from the outside looking in, you know, they have, you know, the white picket fence and fairy tale movie life, when in reality, you know, some of those relationships were more unhealthy than the one I had with my own family. It's just, you can't see it that way. You just want it to be different.
Yeah. Your view of it was that they were both there. Were your parents, both, I guess their relationship was healthy enough where they were both there at your sporting events, or was it like you said, your dad chased his NASCAR dream? He was just like, see you later.
Yeah. When I was young, they were both there. My grandparents were always there. You know, I had a big support system. Okay. You know, obviously for me at my age, when I got to, you know, later in middle school, early high school, like, you know, the technology wasn't there to, you know, kind of FaceTime your way in to watch something live. So yeah, he did, you know, he missed a lot of stuff, and, you know, ultimately, you know, it took a lot of time to find forgiveness and a way to, it kind of not ignore the anger, but accept it. Like, it's okay that you're upset, but, you know, we also have to grow from it and move on. Otherwise, we got to carry it behind us and it'll drag you down.
Okay. How did faith play a role in you as a child and a young man, having essentially growing up and not knowing your parents and being together? Was there faith involved in that? Did you guys go to church, grandparents, you know, anything like that?
Not so much when I was younger. I think I went on like a random Easter every once in a while, or, you know, the local church would do like, you know, some random event in the summer that would kind of get the kids outside. So we would be there, but no, it was not a steady thing in my life at the time.
Okay. All right. And as far as kind of moving forward in that, you said you've had essentially a 2-decade battle with addiction on that. Like, as you were, I don't want to use the word starting with that, but I guess beginning to experiment with whatever substance it was there ever a thought of, you know, did anybody ever kind of approach you at some point and say, you know, that this is something you shouldn't be doing, and kind of try to turn you onto faith? Or was it more of a, ultimately you made a decision after a couple of decades and said, I got to make a change or I'm going to die, and this is what I know to be true, kind of a thing?
Yeah. I mean, it actually, there's two big points in my life where I felt like I had kind of really accepted the fact that I had an addiction problem. When my son was born, I stopped doing everything. You know, my, my ex-wife and I at the time, you know, she comes from a very religious family from Texas. So, you know, we were in church on Sundays. I was involved, you know, in any way I could volunteer my time, you know, or help out in any way. And, you know, that's kind of where I really started to feel connected. You know, and a lot of it for me in the beginning was, you know, I didn't quite understand, you know, all the stories and all of the things and how they were kind of intertwined together being brand new to it. But there was always things that I would hear in a sermon that I could apply to my own life in that moment, almost like this man I've never met picked this out for me to hear it and no one else. And, you know, that connection just started to build and build almost to a point where if, you know, scheduling conflict, work or something came up where I didn't get to go, you know, you have that like empty feeling, like something's missing this week. And, you know, that's when I knew that this was more than just, you know, something else on the calendar. You know, there's a reason why I'm in this seat every week. Somebody's speaking to me about something here.
It's amazing how that happens in going to service regularly. Being I'll use the term baby Christian myself, of only about not even three full years, I think, yet at this point, or maybe just over that, is every time I go, whether it's online through COVID and this pandemic or in person before or even after, whatever is being said somehow is applicable to something that's happening in my life. And it's not just these weird generalizations. It's just a matter of like humanity going through these things. And it's not, right. You know, and there's always some sort of a solution presented. There's always a, you know, something, and it's been pretty impactful for me. Now you said, it sounds like when you, and I'm kind of putting the pieces together here, when you met your ex-wife, obviously prior to her becoming your ex, you didn't really have much of a faith walk, a journey, but she was influential on that. Was it a situation like, I love this woman and this makes sense? Or she said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to church because this is what I've always done, and I want to raise our kids this way, or our son this way.
You know, at first it was something that she had just done regularly before me. And so we, you know, we started going together, and I was, you know, making some connections with people in the church. And when we decided to get married, you know, we had to go through, I don't want to say a class, because it wasn't a class, but, you know, we had to sit and go through some sessions with the pastor. We had to do these tests that someone, I want to say it was in Harvard, but this relationship test that they give before you get married. And it kind of shows you like, hey, this is kind of where you're going to struggle in the first years of marriage. Like, these areas are going to take more work and time. And being able to walk through that with the pastor, you know, he really played a big part on me wanting to continue to grow in faith and continue to learn. And so for a long time, even after we had split up, you know, I was still going regularly, and, you know, addiction at some point in the turn kind of took over everything else, and everything else kind of fell by the wayside.
After the relationship ended, after you split up.
Correct.
Okay. Now, do you have just one child, or you have a couple children, or how many do you have?
So I have one from my previous marriage, mm-hmm. and then my girlfriend and I, she has a daughter who's five. So I've also kind of taken that responsibility on as my own.
Good for you, Dad. Good for you. That takes a man. A lot of men wouldn't do that. I mean, there are more and more that are, but that's awesome. I applaud you for that. So let's, if you want to go down the road here a little bit about the addiction, it probably pulled you away from the church, away from your faith a little bit as it was growing, and then certain events happened. I know for me, that was actually what ended up, you know, relationship ending, the addiction actually brought me into my faith, because I didn't really have one before. Right. So ultimately led me to where we are now. Tell me a little bit about that journey, I guess, if you could summarize it and what that was like, and then, you know, we can kind of move forward from there.
Yeah. Addiction will take its toll on you for sure. And, you know, ultimately, you know, I feel like it was very, very slowly, but it was, looking back on it, it was almost like a light switch. You know, once that switch got flicked, nothing else mattered, except for the using. And everything, I always had an excuse. You know, I always had it, well, it takes up time, or it takes up money, or I can't do this because I don't want these people to see me this way, or whatever the excuse was, I would give it. And, you know, ultimately when I knew it was enough, I mean, unless I wanted to go meet the man early, like something had to change.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of where I was able to, you know, go back. And in my very first days of being sober, you know, I realized that kind of in the same way my father and I had spent this time apart in hatred, on my end for him leaving me, I did the same thing to God. You know, in my own addiction, I mean, I lost several friends to overdose. I lost relationships with good people because they knew they couldn't help me anymore. There was nothing else they could do until I wanted help myself. And I blamed God for all of it. It was all, you know, this, you know, ultimate higher being power that has the ability to fix all is just going to watch me suffer and wilt away and die. Like, where's the belief in that? And it took a long time for me to understand that, you know, it's very, very easy to cast blame on anyone. It's even easier to cast blame on faith and religion as a scapegoat for your own actions. And once that kind of dawned on me, and that, I mean, my whole life started to turn around so quickly that I can't even put it into words. But, you know, I'm sitting here at just over a year clean, and, you know, I've got my own business. I've got healthy relationships with my family, my wife or girlfriend, my kids, people in my community. You know, now it's my turn to do the same thing for others.
Good. That's a journey, man. That's a journey. And was there a turning point? Was there a moment? Was there a series of moments or days where you just, I just can't do it anymore. I need to, did something click that happened? You get busted, you get put in jail or something like that? I mean, what was the key?
No. So I was working full time and I got hurt playing softball, shredded a knee. And I didn't have anything to do. You know, I was getting paid not to be at work. So I'd get up and painkillers, other recreational drugs, booze is all around. And it was just very, very easy. And I finally got to a point where, you know, I was using to function. You know, I'd wake up so out of sorts, like I couldn't keep food down. I could barely hold down water. And the only way I knew how to fix that was to use again. And then the cycle just started over. And eventually what I realized, and I have a huge whiteboard in my room. I call it my warrior board. And I write stuff down on it to remind myself. And one of the things I have on it is that I sacrificed so much time trying to die to feel a fraction of life. You know, I mean, I was using at levels that most people would probably not survive on a daily basis just to feel any sort of function at all, which is probably the, in my, for lack of a better term, hell on earth, is exactly how I felt every single day.
Wow. What put you into, was it a self-guided decision then on going into rehab, going into get treatment? You had mentioned your personal trainer at some point. Did he influence that decision, or was that something that came after? So I guess two questions. What was your motivation to get into treatment? And then how did your personal trainer become part of that?
Yeah. So, you know, I really just had that kind of aha moment of like, dude, you've got like one foot in the grave right now. Like, you ultimately, you know where this road leads you. And the only other option is that you need professional help. Like, you need to pack a bag and go away. And while I was researching these programs, I found the most amazing place I've ever been. It's called Treehouse Recovery PDX. It's in Portland, Oregon. And from the very first moment I got on the phone with these guys, you know, they weren't going to take me at first. It's very, very expensive. My insurance plan did not cover it. And the guy on the phone that I talked to was just like, well, we don't accept no. It's not an option in our world. And, you know, he went tooth and nail back and forth for about 4 days with my insurance company until they found a way to make it right and approve it. And when I got there, my trainer at the time, who I didn't know him from anything. I'd seen his picture. You know, he brought me in for this giant hug and told me to breathe, you know, take a deep breath. We're going to walk this together. And, you know, being that, I think one of the coolest things at Treehouse is, everybody is a former addict. They're all in recovery at different stages. So, you know, and this guy, I mean, this guy is an absolute beast in the gym. But when you get a guy like that to just put his arms around you and tell you that you're going to be okay, I knew I was in the right place. And, you know, within the next day, I had to interview with the team that was currently there. You have to be accepted in. Mm-hmm. And I had made lifelong connections with those guys. You know, I know people that went to college and, you know, they've got frat brothers or these type of things. And this connection that I've made with these other men, you know, it's a pretty special bond when you work together to save each other's lives.
Yep.
And the fact that we are still connected to this day, those are lifelong relationships.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that you had to go to that place that was so dark, that was a hell on earth for you. But as part of your journey and part of your story, is going to resonate with a lot of people, especially in 2020, with everything that's going on and depression, anxiety, addiction rates soaring because of everything that's going on. So you've got a business here. You've got to, and being mindful of your time and everything, tell us a little bit about your business. I mean, the influence behind it. So what are your top three influences that kind of guided you to where you are today, and then kind of slide right into your business and tell us about that and what you do and why you do it?
Yeah. You know, I mean, fitness is just so, so powerful when you really look at it and break it down. You know, the ability to change your body, to change, you know, I hate to say the words appearance, because to me, it just, there's so much more to it than how we look. But, you know, ultimately, you know, how you feel confidence wise, when you look at yourself in the mirror, like, it helps drive morale. You know, you feel better, you look better, you start having more energy. You know, a big, big passion of mine is, you know, time with your family. You know, the things that I can't get back in my own life, my own family, you know, I don't want other people to have to live that way. You know, so if I, through fitness, can help you, you know, kind of break through that energy ceiling, and you've got more time for the kids, you've got more time for your wife, your family, you know, your relationships start to improve, your way of life starts to improve. And overall, you know, health and fitness is a term to kind of break down a category, but in reality, you know, in my world, it's a gateway to the rest of your life. You know, we can reach every aspect of it through fitness.
I love that. I love that. And I've said it for a couple years now, maybe only two short years, but physical fitness is one of the least expensive, most effective ways to improve your mental health, as you know, obviously your physical health as well. And your personal trainer pushed you. You referenced that at the beginning of it here. It sounds like now you're the one who's doing pushing. You're the one who's trying to bring out the best in your clients and your potential clients when you're meeting with them on all aspects, nutrition, physical fitness, mental health, you know, these kind of things. And having the story that you have is very relevant. So your personal trainer, I'm going to go ahead and put him as one of your top influences, obviously, with this man who gave you this big hug and just said, breathe. You got a couple others. Like, who else influenced you to the fact on this one? I have to believe, and I'm going to guide you on this one, because what I hear is that despite not having a relationship for however many years, your dad is part of that group now as somebody who influenced you. Maybe I'm off base, but.
Oh, absolutely.
You tell me.
He is, you know, that he is the absolute greatest example of perseverance and triumph in anybody I know. And I mean, I could sit here for hours and go over all the things that he's taught me, but I think the two biggest things that he has shown me is that, you know, he has proven to me where hate gets you. You know, you can carry hate around as long as you want, and ultimately the only person it damages is the person that looks back at you in the mirror. It fuels you to so much pain, and you're the only one that suffers from it ultimately. I mean, yes, those around you suffer, but ultimately it just drags you down. And, you know, he has always taught me that when you take away the three easy answers in my world, which is time, money, and energy, everything is achievable. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't take a millionaire to start a business. It doesn't take a rich family history to achieve any goal. All you need is what you have in front of you and what you have inside you. And, you know, I can't thank him enough for the things he taught me. You know, we probably speak once or twice a week, living on opposite sides of the country. And I'm blown away every time we have a conversation, even with just the little information that he gives out. It's very, very powerful.
Incredible. That's absolutely awesome. So with your business right now, you obviously have some goals and things that you're trying to achieve. Like, where are you at right now? You started this last year, 2 years ago?
No. So I left treatment. I finished treatment in January of 2020. Okay. I went through the National Academy of Sports Medicine,
okay.
Got certified as a trainer. So I've been doing this since about August of this year. Really the whole time I was in school, I always had the intention of trying to bring it more to an online versus just people in my own community.
Okay.
You know, that had always been a thought of mine. Obviously with everything that COVID has impacted and just the way life might be for the next little bit, and it could be a long time, you know, nobody knows the future, but, you know, the reach that the internet has given us, the tools that it has to make conversations like this so, so easy to have. I've tried to put no limits on it. You know, I really don't think that there isn't anybody I cannot get to, I cannot reach. You know, anybody that puts a hand out because they need help, I can get to it. I can grab that hand in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, you literally have a global business at the hands of the internet and social media. I mean, you're in Bend, Oregon. I'm in Grand Rapids, yeah. Michigan. What's that, 3,500 miles?
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. And we're seamlessly doing this because we don't have the ability to be sitting next to each other for a couple of reasons, you know, logistics being part of it. So right. As far as that goes, kind of getting into the end of it here on this one, I mentioned to you as we started talking here, do you have, considering the role that faith has played in your life. And I feel like we could probably go for a good hour on this one here. So we're definitely going to have to come up with a follow-up at this point and talk more on this. Yeah. But do you have a favorite verse, or maybe a couple that keep you level, that bring you back to where you need to be if you get to a point of anxiety, a point of certain feelings that you don't want to revisit the past type of thing?
You know, the most powerful one for me right now is the Serenity Prayer.
Okay.
Sometimes I break it down. Sometimes I don't need the whole thing.
Yeah.
But what it does for me is it allows me to kind of go back to where I was before getting clean, before getting sober. And,
yeah.
And really it's, and the, how I feel about it is it's God speaking to me of like, this, look how far you've come. So whatever it is in front of you that's made you feel this way, it's not too big, and we're going to walk it together.
That's awesome. In yeah. such a short amount of time too.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's very, it's weird to think about it. You know, I've obviously, you know, I've heard the Serenity Prayer 1,000 times throughout the years. And to me, they're just a bunch of words that, you know, I honestly thought of it like a catchphrase. You know, it's kind of like all these slogans that everybody else has. And now that I've taken the time to understand it, appreciate it, and put meaning and value behind it, it's so, so powerful. And it's, and nothing about it's changed. It's exactly the same as I heard it 20 years ago.
That's awesome. That's a testament to the program for sure. So Mike, if you could step into my shoes and ask a question that I haven't asked yet, what would that question be?
If I was asking myself a question,
mm-hmm. Or if you're asking me a question, no matter.
Well, so the one that came to mind, the biggest thing that the question that I've heard a lot from other people and that I don't really ever ask myself is what do you do next when nothing seems to work? Like, you know, obviously being in an online business, and believe me, there's so many things out there that are just not what they say they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you deal with constant rejection? And the easy answer for me is my goal and my passion and what I'm really trying to do here is reach out and help. And if I have to sit in front of 1,000 to help one, then I will sit in front of 1,000. If I have to sit in front of 10,000 to help one, then I will sit in front of 10,000.
Wow.
So the point for me is that it doesn't matter how many no's you hear, because eventually I'm going to hear yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that I'm looking for, is somebody who wants help, needs help, and is ready for help. And I'm ready.
That's awesome. That's powerful, man. I appreciate you sharing that. So where can everybody connect with you, our viewers, our listeners? How can they get in touch with you and connect with you online, social media or whatever?
I obviously, you know, I've got my own personal profile. It's just my name, Mike Newell. I believe it's, you know, I have an Instagram account that I don't really understand how to use it quite yet. I did start a Facebook group. It is private, but anybody that can go look for it, it's called Be About Recovery. One of my favorite phrases that some of the guys I came up with in treatment was, if talk about it, be about it. And really what that means in a very simple way is, you know, everybody likes to talk about things they're going to do. You know, they talk about what they're going to achieve next year. They talk about, yeah, we're going to meet at this place and have dinner at this time. Like, well, if you're going to say you're going to do something, then make sure you are there to do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah. You should probably start doing it.
Exactly. I'm also in the process of trying to, I'm still building out another Facebook group. I will have the link on my page when it's done. But it's going to gear more towards health and fitness. So it will have, you know, healthy snack tables, all kinds of different things that I can send to people who, you know, and really kind of tailor things to meet individual needs instead of just, you know, this mass produced poster that works for about 9% of the population.
Nice. I love that. Are you on LinkedIn at all, or is it primarily Facebook? And then you said you have a website?
No, I just do, it's all on Facebook right now. At some point I would like to expand it. I'm just in the I have somebody that does a lot of a lot of website design. So him and I are currently working together, but nothing up and running yet.
Okay. Well, we'll have to you'll have to keep us posted. And then when we launch, we can put that in the notes as well. So
yeah,
Mike, as far as last question, what do you feel like your purpose is on this planet? Now that you're here, we're talking. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but what do you feel like it is?
You know, it's this I think has been the biggest challenge the last couple of months. You know, ultimately I believe that I was put on earth to help people overcome the things they can't overcome on their own. And I know that sounds like super generalized, because it could really be anything. You know, obviously I have a lot of knowledge when it comes to overcoming addiction and other things, but you know, I really believe that when you break it down and you get to the core issues of people's problems, they're all pretty much based around the same few things. You know, our walks of life are all different, but we've all experienced pain, loss, some sort of tragedy, anger. You know, it all shows in a different way, but it's all very real and very much the same. But really what's the biggest struggle is that, you know, a lot of times when people need help, you can't tell them they need it. You know, they have to understand that for themselves. Mm-hmm. So trying to find that balance of, you know, hey, I'm reaching out because I'm here to help you, but I'm reaching out to pull you closer, not push you off or push you away. And trying to find that balance has been difficult, but we keep moving forward and keep at it every single day.
Wow. That's a heck of a mission, man, and a heck of a purpose. And I really appreciate you sharing all that with us here. Like I said, there's enough that we could talk about and get another couple hours. So time is going to limit that. So we'll definitely have to do a follow-up on this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've got all the information that I need here. Anything you want to say in closing?
I just want to, you know, I really appreciate you having me on. I want to thank you for the time. And anybody that's listening, like, please don't hesitate to reach out. Don't feel like anything is too small, or, you know, if you're struggling with anything and it's important to you, it's important to me, and we'll fix it together.
Awesome. Awesome. I thank you for that. I thank you for having the heart that you have and your willingness to help and using your experience and your journey to be available for other people. So I really appreciate it. So thanks again for being on here. I hope you have an awesome rest of your day and a great rest of your afternoon and week. So we'll talk again soon. All right.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.